the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put another fun and informative spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and always for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And I love to give a big shout-out to the sponsor of our shows. And today, the sponsor is another great partner of Mrs. Green's world, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. To them, sustainability really is an everyday practice. Their mission has always been to provide people with a hands up to those looking to provide a better life for themselves and their families. They believe, and rightly so, that jobs are transformational and that jobs can and do strengthen both the community and the families through the power of work. Let's face it, it's just the truth. And on top of that, they divert millions of tons from going into the landfill, thus Mrs. Green's excitement in that arena about it. And did I mention that I can personally attest to the fact that they are a great place to shop? This is not a video show, it's a podcast, but I had to keep my dress-up outfit on for our guests to see because three-quarters of it is from resale, and some of it is from Goodwill. But before I welcome our guests and get on with yet another fun and informative show, I just want to share my personal reason for being so high on Goodwill and on resale in general. Retail is the third filthiest industry in the world in terms of contributing to the acceleration of climate change, damage to the environment, all kinds of energy use, and a very sad commentary on the social justice piece and the treatment of people who actually make our clothes. I believe that every garment I buy that wasn't made by slaves or that is having a second life is something I can do that's my part to combat climate change, and I so mean that. There are so many moving pieces to this when it comes to the manufacturing of clothing, and I won't go on articulating any more of them, but my family and I are truly dedicated Goodwill industry shoppers, and we go in any city and check it out and always find something. So without further ado, on with the show. Please join me in welcoming Judith Simmons, Director of Marketing, and Matthew Flores, Digital Marketing Coordinator, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. And we're going to talk about Goodwill and how exactly it is rooted in sustainability. Thank you both for being here and for being such a fun part of my world.
Thanks for having us.
I was excited that you were coming, and we were making jokes about how nervous we weren't and about how we love doing this, and there's never a problem with filling the time.
No, not at all.
No. So let's start with the conversation about Goodwill walking the walk, and how much do you divert from the landfill each year? Like a figure for 2016-17. I'm not exaggerating, right?
Right. So fiscal year 2016-2017, Goodwill of Southern Arizona, with the help of our donors and shoppers, actually, have helped us divert over 28.3 million pounds out of the landfill. And that's because, you know, when you
pounds, right?
When you decide to donate or shop with us, I mean, you know, like you said, you're giving an item a second life, or if you're upcycling something, you're giving it a third and fourth. So, you know, what you're doing is slowing the waste cycle. Which is something that we have to do. You know, I mean, our landfills are getting fuller, and we just need to find different ways to use the items that are already made.
So, how do you measure that? That's what I want to know. Do you have like scales that you measure and keep track?
We do have scales. So if we're doing so we have over 40 donation locations here in Southern Arizona. And so when our when the donations come in, sometimes we have to guess, depending on the size of the truck that we get out there and, you know, how much can fit in that truck. But then also when we're doing donation drives and things like that, we usually We usually weigh it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your people have an eye for all of that. I mean, they do. Yeah. Even when it's in the way they price it, it's like mm-hmm. they've got it down. And I know when Chapman, you know, participates in the Goodwill drive, mm-hmm. you tell them how many pounds of clothing they donated or how yeah. many pounds of goods. So it's really good to know. It yeah, makes people you know what, feel though? Good about it.
Chapman, they've beat their numbers like year over year for the past few years.
We're excited
to see what.
So
what,
proud of their green team. Yeah. So proud. Yeah, I know. We're going to do another one in July for right. the whole back to school movement. And we're gearing up for that. We're getting ready. And people awesome. Are really liking it. All the dealerships in Southern Arizona are involved. So it's really great.
So and just to, I wanted to point out that 28.3 is just that million, 28.3 million is just locally. Cumulatively, all the Goodwills, it's billions of pounds. So back in 2013, it was 2.3 billion. And we know that we've grown and all the other Goodwills have grown. So we're looking at over 3 billion pounds across our whole organization. And we'd actually just found out that we were the largest non-governmental recycler in the world. So that's pretty
Yay.
Big.
We have to put that out on social media, Matt. Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. And, you know, the thing is, it's like it's so good to me that it's become in or trendy or acceptable. When I was little, there was a stigma. I was from the other side of the tracks and went to high school on the other side of the tracks. And we shopped in thrift shops. And my mother she had the keen eye shopper gene. And she would just say, just don't tell anybody. Because it was not the thing that you told your friends. Oh, look at my cool new shoes that were somebody else's. You know what I mean? But now we try to outprice each other. Like, oh yeah, you paid $10 for that. I only paid $8 for this.
Right.
So there's a pride in it. And I showed you, I stayed dressed up so that you could see my outfit.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of compliments on it. It's very professional. And it's all repurposed or upscale or whatever the heck you want to call it. I just know I looked nice today. And that really mattered to me. So a little bit more down into the weeds. That's one of my favorite expressions now. I kind of like that. From your view, how does donating and shopping at Goodwill help contribute to a healthier planet? I mean, it's so easy to do the good thing, the right thing by donating and shopping. What are your thoughts on how does it help with climate change? Because I believe it.
Well, I think specifically with climate change, I think like a big movement is staying local with your food and all that stuff. But those textiles, those products are already here in our community. And it's a short truck drive as opposed to being flown in from across the country or internationally. So just in that sense, there's a huge savings when you're talking about carbon cost. And then if you look at water consumption, I know that's something that's huge. It is the greenest way to shop. There's recycled fabrics, there's, you know, recycled plastics. There's all these great innovations that people are making. But if you shop secondhand, it's greener than all of that. And even a recycled pair of jeans, you're looking at 1,000 gallons per jean. And that was Levi's is doing that. They've started recycling, and that's great. That's a great mission that they're taking on. But that's 1,000 gallons of water that you could save
for
just
one
by
pair
shopping.
Of jeans. Yeah. Like, seriously, people, mm-hmm. when I say I feel guilt-free shopping, and Matt, you brought up things that I even forget about, like mm-hmm. the transportation. It's here already. That nobody had to truck it in and use, you know, create more CO2 emissions. And it's just fun. It's mm-hmm. it's very different kind of shopping. Mm-hmm. And I like to have somebody with me, like my daughter Katie or my daughter Emily, who have an eye for it. And they find stuff. They just, it's fun. It's not like going to a place where you see 10 of the exact same thing.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And that's the fun part. It's the treasure hunt, right?
It is. Yes, that's perfectly. That's exactly what it is. So another green thing you do that we did an entire show on, which is also awesome, is e-waste, mm-hmm. Dell Connect. Tell us about mm-hmm. that partnership. Just give us, it's such a good fit for Goodwill and your mission.
Yeah, so Goodwill Industries regions across the country partner with Dell Reconnect, and what we do is we collect, you know, old monitors. It doesn't matter what brand it is, anything that can be considered a computer part. We're able to take that and then work with Dell so they can recycle the plastics and the metals and make that into new products, or they will, you know, handle some of the more harmful elements out of a computer and just properly dispose of those items. And so since 2010, 2010, when we started with Dell, we can say that we recycled over 1,300 tons of monitors, printers, keyboards, and that's a lot. You know, I mean, I think 2% of what Americans throw away is e-waste. And like I said, there's those harmful chemicals that are in those items that will end up leaching into the ground, into the groundwater. So whatever we can do to help out, we do it.
And I mean, I know you both, and I'm going to put myself in this conversation. We're highly evolved human beings when it comes to recycling. But can you imagine? I could never imagine throwing a computer or a cord or a cell phone in the garbage. It's like not in my DNA.
Yeah.
Long before e-waste was even a phrase. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine people throw their stuff away when it could be creating jobs for people?
Well, right. There's also a security concern there, too. If you just throw your computer or your hard drive in the garbage, somebody can recover all that information. And that's one thing that Dell does do is they make sure that your information is protected. So
matters a lot,
yep.
Especially in this day and age. Anything that happens to me now, I say, okay, we've been hacked. Somebody's listening. I have Alexa. She knows what I said. It's like, yeah, that's a good point to bring up, Matt. It's like, oh, my gosh, don't say that in front of Alexa. What about, this is a question, you know, I never put you on the spot, but sometimes in my work with teams and companies and all that, there's a commitment to the product and to whatever it is you're doing and selling, but there's not always a systemic change in terms of like plastic bags and plastic bottle use and all that stuff. It's more like this is what we do and it's green, but we're not green from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in terms of like encouraging your consumers to bring in their own bags or say, would you not like a bag? Are there any incentives for that or how do you promote it?
Well, I think, yes, we do have to say, you know, we do have plastic bags to...
You can't avoid it.
We can't avoid it,
right.
But as a customer, you can help us avoid it.
Yes.
I mean, we obviously have to purchase those plastic bags, and then that's probably money that we could like reinvest into one of our other mission services if we didn't have to buy as many. So for those customers who are listening out there, I would say, please bring your own. I mean, you know, you could probably find a reusable shopping bag at our stores already.
Right, at drastically reduced rates.
Exactly. And then, you know, when you get out to the checkout line, you're like, just stick it in the bag. And that helps us a lot and our mission services
and
in the long run.
And you can carry the stuff out to your car.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I have 4 articles of clothing from Goodwill, I can put it on the back seat. It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be in a bag.
Yeah.
It's a different mindset that I had to get used to. And mm-hmm. now if I don't have a bag, I get in a little bit of a panic, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I don't take the bag. I either, you know, make more trips out to the car and make sure it's secure. But there are things you can do if you just have the mindset. And Goodwill mm-hmm. consumers should be aware of that. Mm-hmm. It contributes to the mission.
Yes.
And it's fun. Did I mention that it's fun? I think I did a couple times. So I'm going to assume, and I think you and I have made conversations about this, Judy, but you can't get rid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything does not sell. I would love you to talk to us about the donation cycle, like what happens from the drop-off at the donation center or the store to there's nothing we can do with this, folks, and how that all works.
Sure. So, like I mentioned, we have over 40-some donation locations
which
here.
Which just blows me away.
Right. And actually, I think we had, I don't know, mapped it out at some point where you live approximately 5 miles from a Goodwill center. So
I can tell you where mine are.
Right.
I live about 2, like
yeah,
right there.
Exactly. You're always going to find a place to drop off
right.
a donation. And then when you do, obviously, you know, when we process those items, we look for things that we can sell at the stores because you're absolutely right. Sometimes we do get items that are not sellable, right?
That something people shouldn't even have donated in
right,
the first place.
Right.
I just had, you don't want to say that, but it's
no.
okay if I do. Like you think we could have sold this?
Yeah.
It's like going to a yard sale and you're like, they're selling that for $2? Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. So from the donation center, if it's not already donated at a store, donation door, we take that item to the nearest store And then we kind of do a quality check. You know, if that's something that we know that we can sell, great. And if not, we put it in an as-is pile. And then that gets sent over to an outlet where people can buy by the pound. So it's not going from like a store to the landfill. We have a really great tiered approach. So store. And then if it's like a higher end brand or designer brand, we also have the boutique.
Right.
So, and
another that's Mrs. Always, Green's favorite.
That's always fun.
And e-commerce online.
Yep, e-commerce online. Right. And we also have our e-books online. So we have a number of locations where you can buy these items. After the item's been at the store for about 5 or 6 weeks, those things go on sale for 50% off. So that would be our color of the week, right? So again, we're just trying to get the item out in front of the right person to come in and shop it, and just, you know, we'll keep it on the floor for as long as possible. And then if it doesn't sell at the store, it goes to the outlet where, like I said, you can buy by the pound. If it doesn't sell at the outlet, we do have an auction. So even more so, you can buy by the melon. And so what a melon is...
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, so you know those big cardboard boxes that, you know, melons and watermelons are...
Yes, at the grocery store.
At the grocery store.
Big, thick cardboard boxes.
We have those melons full of clothing or items and things like that, and then we auction off the entire melon. And a lot of the people that shop at our outlets or go to the auction are, you know, resellers themselves, which is great because not
it
only
is.
Are we helping someone else's livelihood, but again, we're slowing down that waste cycle because they will be able to, you know, sell it and give it a second life. And then if it doesn't sell at an auction, we also you know, sell it or recycle the items. So I've got some numbers, actually, our director of operations. I was like, I need numbers. actually from July 1st, because our fiscal year starts July, we've already recycled 2.7 million pounds of textile. And this is sellable textile. Sellable textile never goes into the landfill. We may get some textile that we can't sell, obviously, but sellable textile never goes to the landfill. We always have or
there's
find
another
a buyer.
Purpose for it.
Yes,
forever till it shreds.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. And books, over 1 million pounds of books are recycled. And then we also donate books to Literacy Connects. And
awesome.
You know, if you. I think we also helped an elementary school in Casa Grande start their library. So if you have a program out there that needs books, I mean, we've got books for you, you know.
I mean, but it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other facts? I love these statistics because
It
gives people a sense for how the scope, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Almost 350,000 pounds of shoes. And if you can imagine, you know, sometimes, I mean, like, you know, if you have a person who buys like a melon of shoes, if they have the manpower to separate the items and then get money from actually recycling certain parts of the shoe or, you know, some of the items that they can get by the pound at the store, I mean, again, that helps their livelihood. And then 162,000 pounds of scrap metal so far. And we're like March.
Like, who's donating scrap metal? What do you mean?
Oh, so many different things. It could be like a bed frame that's
got
bent.
Okay.
Or a file
okay.
cabinet.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Things that would otherwise go in the landfill.
Correct. Right.
So that's all huge in terms of reducing carbon footprint, reducing waste, reducing water use, and keeping it out of the landfill. So I know you do everything that you can. Talk about, there's so many fluctuations in terms of what's in demand and what's not when it comes to the recycling of waste. And what I mean by that is, like, sometimes there's a market for glass from the recycling center that they do, okay? Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes cardboard. There's a market for cardboard, so you can sell it. And even though your donations are up from what I have talked to you about, which is really a good thing, and we love that, and thank you, all you people that are doing it. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with Mrs. Green's world, and I'm just kidding. but what's happening in terms of the costs for getting rid of the waste?
It's increasing. I mean, if you, and I think, and it kind of should, you know, because it should deter people from throwing more stuff away. But unfortunately, when Goodwill has to incur those costs of throwing certain items in the landfill because we can't sell it, or, you know, it's in a condition that it's just, we can't do anything with it. It actually takes away from the funds that we could use to go to our programs and our mission. So if you are considering donating to Goodwill, please, look at the quality of the stuff that you're donating to us. But we do appreciate every donation that we get.
Right.
But it does contribute to just additional cost for us.
Yeah.
Even the prices that we get per pound fluctuate depending on that product or what's ever going on in that industry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
it would probably be fascinating to me to know more of like who your buyers are, because it's such an entrepreneurial thing to me that they find it, even if they go and resell it in Mexico where there's such poverty, and if they can sell t-shirts for a dollar or whatever. I love that you have a station in Nogales, because there's lots of poor people and they can look good and feel good and just have an opportunity to dress right for pennies on the dollar, literally.
So, actually, I want to tell you, and I'm not gonna give away his name yet. So we are working with an author, who is writing a book on the secondhand industry.
So you're not gonna tell me, and it's gonna kill me. But it's okay.
We can do that off air.
Yeah,
have another show,
right?
Maybe with this person on in the new year.
Yeah, and what's great about this author, and he's gonna come and visit us early April, is that he's gonna go and spend some time with one of the resellers that shop at our store, where he goes and things like that. And
I have goosebumps. So if he wants to come over and see my wardrobe, put my name on the list. Seriously, I mean, it's a really good thing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that will be a good guest.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I will talk with him about it.
Yeah. Love to hear from him. So I don't know about you guys, and I'm not making this up. I believe that something physiologically happens to us when it's springtime.
Mm-hmm.
You open the windows.
It's true, for
we
sure.
We kind of open the windows all the time here in Tucson, let's be honest. We close the windows three times this year. Oh, remember that? But something happens to you. You want to clean out your closets. You want to get rid of things. You want to, like we did a whole thing with the plants outside, get rid of the dead ones, trim back all of this stuff. Share with people about why, when you're doing that, Goodwill should be top of mind. Is it a good season for you? Do you see donations go up? Because I'm telling you, you see them come up from us. We take everything to Goodwill.
Yeah. We do, actually. Spring cleaning, or the spring season, is a big season for us. And I mean, I don't know the chemistry or whatever that happens to you.
But something happens.
Something does.
It's in like Chinese medicine. There's like, you should fast and cleanse certain parts of your body during spring.
You want to exercise more. You want to get up earlier. I mean, there's got to be a whole thing that's up in the universal flow of things.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, Matt is right. Just the idea of like cleansing your home and maybe like making room for something new or, you know, used.
Right. new to me.
Yeah.
Right.
New to me.
And they should consider, you know, donating it to Goodwill, because, I mean, not only, I know the show is about, you know, our roots in sustainability when it comes to the environment and things like that, but it's also helping out the community. It's one of the things that we're saying. It's like, it's so easy to do good in so many ways when you're donating to Goodwill, because not only, again, are you keeping that stuff out of landfill, but you're also helping out thousands of people every year who are looking for jobs and looking for that hand up to their next career and to, you know, be independent, or whatever that means for you know, that person, to be able to support their families and just have a sense of pride in things that they're doing. And especially when it comes to having a job, which is, like you mentioned earlier, is transformational.
And I've said this to you before. I heard it when I saw a film several years ago, and the man came and he talked about the only, on this film, it was the only way to end poverty is to get people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you do that is by giving them jobs. Yes, if they're hungry, you have to feed them. But the way to get them to feed themselves is by getting jobs. And I will tell you, the biggest surprise to me in this journey with Goodwill is that, you know, I was friends with Suzanne Lauder,
mm-hmm.
and I thought Goodwill was a retail. That's
yep.
all that, and I think most people do. And what I've
right.
loved is our being able to get the word out. The donation you make is helping to make your community stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You can think
yes.
of it as being selfish, because the more people work, the stronger the community, the better the tax base, the nicer our roads are.
Right.
If that wouldn't inspire you to go with our pothole city.
Yeah. It's ending the cycle of poverty is obviously a huge part of our mission, but it's also like, as someone takes care of those basic needs, then they can focus on some of the other needs, like maybe recycling or going green and helping the greater community. So.
Right. It just raises all of the consciousness when mm-hmm. it comes to that. Because if you're trying to put food on the table, that's your number one priority.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love that part. Is there anything else that you would talk about in terms of, since this really is about your commitment to sustainable practices and goodwill, did I miss anything that you want to cover that you do as a commitment to being good stewards of the environment?
Let's see. I mean, we can give you kind of a list of what's going on with us here soon. So we are partnering with Kagan on their Tucson Morning Blend.
It's Earth Month.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to be on Tucson Morning Blend talking about, you know, tips for to go green. And you, Gina, will be one of our guests, which I'm super
wearing
excited about.
Wearing repurposed clothing proud of it.
Right.
It's
and me too.
Yes.
So we'll be doing that. We're going to be out there. We're doing a couple of shows with them. We're going to be out at Cyclovia at the end of April, doing a service learning project with our Good Futures program.
Which makes me light up. It's one of my favorite programs.
Right. and one of the crafts that they're going to do is how to repurpose a t-shirt into like a shopping bag. So we provide the t-shirt, just come on over and then you can, you know, learn how to do that. So it's something that you can do with your own old t-shirts, because everyone's got awesome t-shirts, right?
Totally. I have two drawers full of them.
Awesome.
And it's so funny because you get them at these events, which I'm now totally against giving t-shirts out at events, because who wears them again unless it's a really cool t-shirt?
Right.
If we get Mrs. Green's World t-shirts, they're going to be a treasure. Like, you're going to have to work to get one, because I have two drawers full and I'm like, oh, they're sentimental value. And
right.
they'll probably have to be moved with, you know, with me, like when I'm on my way out. You don't want to talk about that though. It's like I look at them and I go through them and I'm like, I can't get rid of that. That was from such and such. So Cyclovia, which is another, it's just like it rocks mm-hmm. in Tucson. They close mm-hmm. the streets. It's a family day. There's vendors. There's street performers. There's all kinds of booths. It's another really green, fun event that took off like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's growing every year.
So that's good. So the Morning Blend, Make Earth Day Every Day at Goodwill. That's what I said. I don't know if that's your tagline, but I know it's true. Tips to live more sustainably. And you know, I think we have like maybe a minute or two left, 2 minutes, and I just don't know if I can fit this in. But Matt, like in terms of the retail landscaping changing so much, you're the digital marketing guru. Is it just like so important in terms of a mission-based organization that people who have them or have retail know what they're doing? Because it's a crowded space out there on the internet.
Oh, it definitely is. That's definitely, you have to have a strategy. You have to know what your mission is, what you're trying to convey to people. And obviously for Goodwill, we have multiple different audiences. So we have people that want to contribute to the community, people that are focused on green, and then people that are looking for bargains. But something we definitely leverage the green side of it. Whenever we do events, we make sure to take photos, and it's a constant day-to-day thing. We promote the amount that we're recycling. And then also the mission is one of, for us, something that we try to lead with, because it's something that kind of differentiates us from other places you can donate to. There's good organizations, but we helped last year over 1,400 youth, over 10,000 individuals total just in Southern Arizona. So I think that mission really kind of captures people's attention. and
right.
Grabs
and you have
them.
To target yeah. people when you're
exactly.
out there doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
So thus my passion for being partners with you guys. Mm-hmm. It's really a very heartfelt thing for me. So April 19th, Julia Strange, who's the Vice President of Community Benefit, and Mary Atkinson, Director of Wellness from Tucson Medical Center. Love them. The ultimate community partner. March 17th, Paul Hawken and Catherine Wilkinson, Project Drawdown. I cannot believe I'm going to get to interview Paul Hawken. Stay tuned, everybody. You too. Love spending time with you. Go to Goodwill. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.